Albert Hofmann synthesized LSD in a Basel lab in 1938 and, 5 years later, accidentally absorbed enough to take the first acid trip in history, a bicycle ride into the 20th century's strangest pharmacology. DMT's story is older and stranger. The molecule was synthesized in 1931, identified in Amazonian snuffs and brews used for centuries, and later found to occur in trace amounts across the plant and animal kingdoms, including, controversially, in mammalian brain tissue. One is a chemist's molecule that reshaped a culture. The other is a compound so simple and so widespread that some researchers wondered whether the brain makes its own. This article is education, not medical advice. UTW has covered each on its own, the neuroscience of LSD and the neuroscience of DMT. This piece puts them side by side. It is not a contest to crown a winner. It is a study in contrast. Two molecules that reach the same receptor produce two of the most different experiences in all of psychopharmacology, and in 2026, sit at different points on the road back to medicine. Understanding where they converge, where they diverge, and what each actually does is the most useful thing a comparison can offer. Before we begin, educational overview only, not medical advice. Both drugs are Schedule 1, carry real psychological risk, and are contraindicated in a personal or family history of psychosis or bipolar disorder. If you are in crisis, contact a local emergency line or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the U.S. The shared premise: one receptor, one entropic brain. Start with what they agree on because it is the foundation of everything. Both LSD and DMT are classic serotonergic psychedelics, a family defined by a single shared action, agonism at the 5-HT2A serotonin receptor, densely expressed on layer 5 pyramidal neurons in the cortex. Switch that receptor on and you get the cascade neuroscience associates with the psychedelic state: increased cortical excitability, a rise in neural entropy, the brain's activity becomes less predictable, more diverse, and a loosening of the default mode network, the tightly coupled circuit tied to self-referential thought and the ordinary sense of being a fixed self. In the entropic brain and rebus framing, both drugs temporarily flatten the brain's habitual top-down hierarchies. That shared endpoint is why a high-dose acid trip and a DMT breakthrough, for all their differences, are recognizably members of the same family, and why the 5-HT2A receptor is the through line of this entire comparison. They also share, at the whole brain scale, the same broad signature. LSD's landmark imaging study found that it increases functional connectivity across normally segregated brain networks. Most strikingly, a surge of connectivity into the visual cortex that tracked with the intensity of visual imagery, alongside disintegration of the default mode network. DMT's imaging shows the same directional story compressed into minutes: global hyperconnectivity, a collapse of the cortex's normal hierarchical organization, reduced within network integrity, and a robust rise in signal diversity and entropy. Different clocks, same music. The comparison at a glance: where they split, the chemistry, everything that makes them feel like different universes flows from the molecules. LSD is a semi-synthetic ergoline, a lysergic acid diethylamide built on the four-ring ergoline scaffold derived from alkaloids of the ergot fungus. It is a large, rigid, complex molecule and one of the most potent psychoactive substances ever characterized. A full dose is measured in micrograms, roughly a thousandth of the milligram scale doses of most psychedelics. Its pharmacology is also unusually broad. Beyond potent 5-HT2A agonism, its main psychoactive driver, LSD binds and activates a wide sweep of targets: serotonin 5-HT1A, 5-HT2C, 5-HT6, 5-HT7, dopamine D1 and D2, the trace amine receptor, TR1, and alpha adrenergic receptors. The dopaminergic component in particular is thought to shape the later phase of the trip. DMT is a simple tryptamine, N,N-dimethyltryptamine, structurally close to serotonin itself and to psilocin. It occurs across nature, in the Psychotria viridis leaf, brewed into ayahuasca, in numerous other plants, and in trace amounts in mammalian tissue. which fed the popular spirit molecule idea that the brain manufactures its own psychedelic. That endogenous story deserves an honest flag. Enzymes capable of making DMT, such as INMT, exist in mammalian tissue, and DMT has been detected in rat brain. But whether the brain produces it in psychoactively meaningful amounts, and whether it has any physiological function, remains genuinely unresolved and contested. DMT is primarily a partial agonist at 5-HT2A plus 5-HT1A and 5-HT2C, and it also binds the sigma-1 receptor, a molecular chaperone linked in preclinical work to neuroplasticity and neuroprotection, and TAR1. The sigma-1 angle is intriguing but preclinical, interesting in a dish and in mice, not shown to drive human clinical outcomes. The engine of the whole comparison? Binding kinetics. Here is the single most illuminating difference, and it is not about which receptors, but how long the drug stays. In 2017, Daniel Wacker, Brian Roth, and colleagues published the first crystal structure of LSD bound to a human serotonin receptor, and it explained a decades-old puzzle. Why LSD lasts so absurdly long for a drug cleared from the blood relatively quickly? The structure revealed that once LSD slots into the binding pocket, a portion of the receptor, extracellular loop 2, folds over the top like a lid, trapping the molecule in place. Molecular dynamics simulations tie this lid to LSD's exceptionally slow dissociation, a long receptor residence time, and a mutation that loosened the lid sped LSD's binding kinetics right up. In plain terms, LSD gets in, the door shuts behind it, and it keeps signaling long after most drugs would have washed off the receptor. That slow off rate is a large part of why the effects outlast the plasma half-life. DMT is the mirror image. It binds and releases rapidly, a quick on, quick off, and, decisively, it is a substrate for monoamine oxidase, or MAO, the enzyme that degrades it almost the instant it appears. Taken by mouth on its own, DMT is destroyed in the gut and liver before it can act at all, which is exactly why ayahuasca must pair it with MAO-inhibiting vine alkaloids. Injected or smoked, it reaches the brain, hits 5-HT2A, hard and briefly, and is metabolized away within minutes. The contrast is almost poetic. LSD is the guest who will not leave. DMT is gone before the door closes. The honest caveat, the receptor residence story is a well-supported structural and pharmacological account of why the clocks differ, not a complete theory of the subjective experience. Duration is shaped by kinetics, metabolism, receptor breadth, and dose together. And how a molecular event becomes a felt journey is still only partly understood. Treat the lid as a real and elegant piece of the puzzle, not the whole picture. Pharmacokinetics and routes. Micrograms over a day versus a puff that vanishes. The kinetics translate directly into how each drug is taken and how long it runs. LSD is taken orally, is active at microgram doses, and unfolds slowly. In controlled dosing studies, a 100 microgram oral dose produced effects beginning within about an hour, peaking around 2.5 to 3 hours, and lasting a mean of roughly 8.2 hours, with a range extending past 14 hours at higher doses, even though LSD's plasma half-life is only about 2.9 hours. That gap between a short half-life and a long experience is precisely what the lid helps explain. The practical upshot? An LSD session is an all-day commitment. DMT is not orally active on its own. Because MAO shreds it, it must either be combined with an MAO inhibitor, the ayahuasca solution, or delivered by a route that bypasses the gut, smoked or vaporized, or given intravenously or intramuscularly. Smoked at a breakthrough dose, DMT comes on within seconds, peaks in a couple of minutes, and is essentially over in 10 to 20 minutes. The shortest major psychedelic experience there is. This extreme brevity is also what makes DMT attractive to drug developers. It fits inside a clinic appointment. The frontier here is extended state DMT, using controlled intravenous infusion to hold a person at a chosen depth for far longer than a single puff allows. Imperial College researchers have run continuous infusion and self-titration protocols that sustain the state and let participants steer its intensity, and a 2025 trial demonstrated a six-hour DMT infusion in healthy volunteers with an acceptable safety profile. Extended infusion is the technology that turns the shortest psychedelic into a tunable, clinic-friendly one. The experience and the neuroscience of it. Subjectively, these are two of the most different states in psychopharmacology. LSD is a long, gradually evolving arc. Over 8 to 12 hours, it moves through waves of perceptual change, emotional intensity, associative and conceptual thinking, and, at higher doses, ego dissolution, all with plenty of time for reflection within the experience. Albert Hofmann synthesized LSD in a Basel lab in 1938, and 5 years later, accidentally absorbed enough to take the first acid trip in history, a bicycle ride into the 20th century's strangest pharmacology. DMT's story is older and stranger. The molecule was synthesized in 1931, identified in Amazonian snuffs and brews used for centuries, and later found to occur in trace amounts across the plant and animal kingdoms, including, controversially, in mammalian brain tissue. One is a chemist's molecule that reshaped a culture. The other is a compound so simple and so widespread that some researchers wondered whether the brain makes its own. This article is education, not medical advice. UTAW has covered each on its own. The neuroscience of LSD and the neuroscience of DMT, this piece puts them side by side. It is not a contest to crown a winner. It is a study in contrast. Two molecules that reach the same receptor produce two of the most different experiences in all of psychopharmacology, and, in 2026, sit at different points on the road back to medicine. Understanding where they converge, where they diverge, and what each actually does is the most useful thing a comparison can offer. Before we begin, educational overview only, not medical advice. Both drugs are Schedule 1, carry real psychological risk, and are contraindicated in a personal or family history of psychosis or bipolar disorder. If you are in crisis, contact a local emergency line or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the U.S. The shared premise, one receptor, one entropic brain. Start with what they agree on because it is the foundation of everything. Both LSD and DMT are classic serotonergic psychedelics, a family defined by a single shared action, agonism at the 5-HT2A serotonin receptor, densely expressed on layer 5 pyramidal neurons in the cortex. Switch that receptor on and you get the cascade neuroscience associates with the psychedelic state. Increased cortical excitability, a rise in neural entropy, the brain's activity becomes less predictable, more diverse, and a loosening of the default mode network, the tightly coupled circuit tied to self-referential thought and the ordinary sense of being a fixed self. In the entropic brain and rebus framing, both drugs temporarily flatten the brain's habitual top-down hierarchies. That shared endpoint is why a high-dose acid trip and a DMT breakthrough, for all their differences, are recognizably members of the same family, and why the 5-HT2A receptor is the through line of this entire comparison. They also share, at the whole brain scale, the same broad signature. LSD's landmark imaging study found that it increases functional connectivity across normally segregated brain networks, most strikingly a surge of connectivity into the visual cortex that tracked with the intensity of visual imagery alongside disintegration of the default mode network. DMT's imaging shows the same directional story compressed into minutes. Global hyperconnectivity, a collapse of the cortex's normal hierarchical organization, reduced within network integrity, and a robust rise in signal diversity and entropy. Different clocks, same music. The comparison at a glance. Where they split, the chemistry. Everything that makes them feel like different universes flows from the molecules. LSD is a semi-synthetic ergoline, a lysergic acid diethylamide, built on the four-ring ergoline scaffold derived from alkaloids of the ergot fungus. It is a large, rigid, complex molecule and one of the most potent psychoactive substances ever characterized. A full dose is measured in micrograms, roughly a thousandth of the milligram-scale doses of most psychedelics. Its pharmacology is also unusually broad. Beyond potent 5-HT2A, agonism, its main psychoactive driver, LSD binds and activates a wide sweep of targets, serotonin 5-HT1A, 5-HT2C, 5-HT6, 5-HT7, dopamine D1 and D2, the trace amine receptor, TAR1, and alpha adrenergic receptors. The dopaminergic component in particular is thought to shape the later phase of the trip. DMT is a simple tryptamine, N,N-dimethyltryptamine, structurally close to serotonin itself and to psilocin. It occurs across nature in the Psychotria viridis leaf, brewed into ayahuasca, in numerous other plants, and in trace amounts in mammalian tissue, which fed the popular spirit molecule idea that the brain manufactures its own psychedelic. That endogenous story deserves an honest flag. Enzymes capable of making DMT, such as INMT, exist in mammalian tissue, and DMT has been detected in rat brain. But whether the brain produces it in psychoactively meaningful amounts and whether it has any physiological function remains genuinely unresolved and contested. DMT is primarily a partial agonist at 5-HT2A plus 5-HT1A and 5-HT2C, and it also binds the sigma-1 receptor, a molecular chaperone linked in preclinical work to neuroplasticity and neuroprotection, and TAR1. The sigma-1 angle is intriguing but preclinical, interesting in a dish and in mice, not shown to drive human clinical outcomes. The engine of the whole comparison, binding kinetics. Here is the single most illuminating difference, and it is not about which receptors but how long the drug stays. In 2017, Daniel Wacker, Brian Roth, and colleagues published the first crystal structure of LSD bound to a human serotonin receptor, and it explained a decades-old puzzle: why LSD lasts so absurdly long for a drug cleared from the blood relatively quickly. The structure revealed that once LSD slots into the binding pocket, a portion of the receptor, extracellular loop 2, folds over the top like a lid, trapping the molecule in place. Molecular dynamics simulations tied this lid to LSD's exceptionally slow dissociation, a long receptor residence time, and a mutation that loosened the lid sped LSD's binding kinetics right up. In plain terms, LSD gets in, the door shuts behind it, and it keeps signaling long after most drugs would have washed off the receptor. That slow off rate is a large part of why the effects outlast the plasma half-life. DMT is the mirror image. It binds and releases rapidly, a quick on, quick off, and decisively. It is a substrate for monoamine oxidase, or MAO, the enzyme that degrades it almost the instant it appears. Taken by mouth on its own, DMT is destroyed in the gut and liver before it can act at all, which is exactly why ayahuasca must pair it with MAO, inhibiting vine alkaloids. Injected or smoked, it reaches the brain, hits 5-HT2A, hard and briefly, and is metabolized away within minutes. The contrast is almost poetic. LSD is the guest who will not leave. DMT is gone before the door closes. The honest caveat, the receptor residence story is a well-supported structural and pharmacological account of why the clocks differ, not a complete theory of the subjective experience. Duration is shaped by kinetics, metabolism, receptor breadth, and dose together. And how a molecular event becomes a felt journey is still only partly understood. Treat the lid as a real and elegant piece of the puzzle, not the whole picture. Pharmacokinetics and routes. Micrograms over a day versus a puff that vanishes. The kinetics translate directly into how each drug is taken and how long it runs. LSD is taken orally, is active at microgram doses, and unfolds slowly. In controlled dosing studies, a 100 microgram oral dose produced effects beginning within about an hour, peaking around 2.5 to 3 hours, and lasting a mean of roughly 8.2 hours, with a range extending past 14 hours at higher doses, even though LSD's plasma half-life is only about 2.9 hours. That gap between a short half-life and a long experience is precisely what the lid helps explain. The practical upshot: an LSD session is an all-day commitment. DMT is not orally active on its own. Because MAO shreds it, it must either be combined with an MAO inhibitor, the ayahuasca solution, or delivered by a route that bypasses the gut, smoked or vaporized, or given intravenously or intramuscularly. Smoked at a breakthrough dose, DMT comes on within seconds, peaks in a couple of minutes, and is essentially over in 10 to 20 minutes, the shortest major psychedelic experience there is. This extreme brevity is also what makes DMT attractive to drug developers. It fits inside a clinic appointment. The frontier here is extended state DMT, using controlled intravenous infusion to hold a person at a chosen depth for far longer than a single puff allows. Imperial College researchers have run continuous infusion and self-titration protocols that sustain the state and let participants steer its intensity, and a 2025 trial demonstrated a 6-hour DMT infusion in healthy volunteers with an acceptable safety profile. Extended infusion is the technology that turns the shortest psychedelic into a tunable, clinic-friendly one. The experience and the neuroscience of it. Subjectively, these are two of the most different states in psychopharmacology. LSD is a long, gradually evolving arc. Over 8 to 12 hours, it moves through waves of perceptual change, emotional intensity, associative and conceptual thinking, and, at higher doses, ego dissolution, all with plenty of time for reflection within the experience.